Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today as we continue to discover who God is. And we do that in the Old Testament book of Job. Here in the book of Job, we will be back in the land of Uz. This is Act 1, Scene 4, Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. When we left off last time, I read this text for us and told you that we would be talking about the disease, the denunciation, and the defense. So let's read the passage again and then make our way through it. If you're on the road, you obviously will only be able to hear the text read, but should you be in a place where you can follow along in your Bible, please do so now at Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. Job 2, beginning at verse 7, "Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And Job took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?' In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." That was Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. And on our outline, this is Act 1, Scene 4. Let's look at the disease, the denunciation, and the defense. In verse 7, we read about the disease Job gets. "Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." These sore boils were similar to what God smote the Egyptians with in Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. I'm reading the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 9, and verses 8 and 9. "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take for yourselves handfuls of soot from a keen, and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt.'" Listen as I quote from Dr. Lawson's commentary on Job as he writes about these sores. He will give several scripture references within the book of Job. I suggest you write down each reference and read these later on your own. I'll give you a moment to grab a pen or get the notes section on your phone, tablet, or computer opened. As I read, note the biblical references. What's that you say? You cannot write this down right now? No worries. Just write to me and ask for them. mark@godisministry.org. Here is what Stephen Lawson says. Quote, "The sores were inflamed, ulcerous sores that produced itching. Job 2, 8. Degenerative changes in facial skin. Job 2, 7 and 12. Loss of appetite. Job 3, 24. Depression. Job 3, 24 and 25. Worms in the boils. Job 7, 5. Hardened skin and running sores. Job 7, 25. Difficulty in breathing. Job 9, 18. Dark eyelids, Job 16, 16. Foul breath, Job 19, 17. Weight loss, Job 19, 20. Continual pain, Job 30, 17. Restlessness, Job 30, 27. Blackened skin, Job 30, 30. And fever, Job 30, 30. All of which lasted for several months, Job 29, 2. End quote. This is very insightful and gives us a real sense for the suffering Job endured in his own physical body. This is the disease Satan inflicted Job with, and notice in verse 8, the Job humiliated heads to the garbage dump, grabs a sharp potsherd, and uses it to scratch himself, likely to release the infection in the boils. I hope that you were not eating while you listened to this broadcast or podcast. Job is a mess. Now we come to the second insight in our little outline of Job 2, verses 7 through 10, the denunciation. A denunciation is a condemnation of someone. And in verse 9, Mrs. Job condemns Mr. Job, and really we can say that she has a denunciation for God. Read Job 2, verse 9 along with me. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." Job's wife gives a bitter statement of unbelief in God, and she tells her husband, "Give up your integrity, curse God, and die. Put yourself out of your misery, mister." But curse God? Really? Does she not know that cursing God is a sin unto death? She blames God for Job's trouble and her own trouble. She sins blatantly against the Lord. In case you were wondering why Satan did not wipe out Mrs. Job when he killed Job's sons and daughters back in Job chapter 1, this is why. Job's wife was a mouthpiece for Satan. She teamed up with the devil to torment Job. This is not the only place in Scripture where Satan speaks, where he works through people. Warren Wiersbe points out other instances in his book on Job. Here are those instances. You should also read these for yourself. It's very illuminating. Write these down or write to me for them. Matthew chapter 16, verses 20 and 23. Satan speaks through Peter. Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 and 23. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 12, Satan uses Eve to speak to Adam. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 12. Genesis chapter 16, Satan uses Sarah to speak to Abraham. Genesis chapter 16. Much later on, you can read Job 42, verse 13. Job 42, 13, Job and his wife reconcile, but here she is a mouthpiece for Satan as she tries to persuade Job to curse God and die. As much as Job feared God, his wife did not fear God. As much as Job believed in the supremacy and sovereignty of God, his wife did not. And again, we should ask, which are we? In our times of testing, do we respond as Job did or as his wife did? This is quite the denunciation, the condemnation she makes. It is testimony to the grace and patience of God and God's plans for Job that she did not die on the spot. To curse God is a sin unto death. Still, God shows mercy to Mrs. Job and allows her to live. Which brings us to the final verse in this scene, verse 10. I'm reading Job chapter 2 and verse 10. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Wow, this verse is another gem. I highly recommend you highlight this, just as I did with verse 3. In our little outline, this is the defense of God, and it is given by Job. This is the defense of God. Job defends his creator. Job is offended and appalled at what his wife is saying. Curse God? How dare she even suggest it? Job will have none of it. You foolish woman. And then Job asks a profound question. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? I believe this is one of the most valuable questions ever asked, and certainly ever asked in the whole Bible. This speaks to the nature and the character of God himself, of who God is. And this speaks to how God relates to us, his people. You see, in our subtle pride, we have this underlying idea, you could call it a feeling, a suspicion, that God owes us all good. After all, we have sacrificed so much for him by being a Christian. We all like to receive the good. None of us are big fans of adversity. To further persuade us that God owes us blessings, we live in a global society and culture that is driven by entitlement. We have a whole generation of young people who have grown up getting everything they want when they want it. This is something that the modern parent is struggling with, and I feel their pain. You deny your child what they demand of you, and you have a big battle raging on your hands. But let's not blame all of this on the younger generation. Let's be honest. Most of us have been greatly blessed by God, and we want more. The global church has fallen prey to this, I believe, false teaching, that God exists purely to bless me. That mentality is in much of today's quote-unquote preaching and certainly has flooded today's quote-unquote worship music and Christian literature. The mentality is God exists solely to bless me, and he better keep blessing me if he wants me to worship him. The point is, like Job's wife, we love accepting the good that God offers, and he has been very, very good to us indeed. But back to Job's question, what about when we receive adversity? What is our attitude towards God like then? Now this question, shall we accept good from God and not accept adversity, is going to fit a broader conversation we're going to have later in this study on the sovereignty of God. So let's hold on to this, and I will say more about it. When we talk about the sovereignty of God, we will define what we mean by sovereignty. I'll circle back to Job 2, verse 10, and Brother Job's great question. But right now, the curtain drops across the stage. We have talked about the disease, the denunciation, and the defense. It is time for an intermission. You see, we've come to the end of Act 1. Next time, we will climb back into our seats when the curtain rises on Act 2, and Act 2 is much, much longer than Act 1. This reminder as I close, take a few minutes to check out the brand new God Is website. In your web browser, punch in godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Once there, you have access to all the podcasts, and you can click subscribe to podcasts on the bottom left corner of the homepage to get God Is on iTunes, Google Play, and Pocket Casts. Plus, be sure and click the icons for Facebook and Instagram. Follow us and like our pages. And then join me again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.